Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Nothing Concrete. I'm Ben Eshmade, and this week we're delving into our archive, looking back to June 2018, in a series of podcasts where we speak to a DJ, a writer, and a record label, all three showcasing their love and obsession with Japanese music. This podcast was originally made to coincide with a series of gigs featuring artists from the Japanese underground scene, responsible for genre-defining music, from the groundbreaking electronics of Yellow Magic Orchestra to the sonic arts of Ryoji Akida and quirky pop of Mariah.
There's always something that comes along that you think, wow, that's incredible.
So let's explore the influences of Japanese underground music, from the club music of Kyoto to the record stores of Osaka, discovering and exploring the sounds that have emerged over the past 40 years.
In a way, what these Japanese artists have done, they've taken those American and Western influences, but they've produced something individual.
In this first edition of this podcast trilogy, Howard Williams, aka Japan Blues, starts off with a unique journey through some of his favourite underground music from the 1970s. Over to Japan Blues.
I'm Howard Williams. I run the show Japan Blues, which I've been doing for NTS Live for over 4 years now. I also occasionally play bars and clubs around the world, and it's all about Japanese music. It became my obsession a few years ago, has remained ever increasing ever since. Initially, you know, the story that I tell most people, when I was a kid, I went to see a Japanese percussionist called Stomu Yamashita, and he was one of the few Japanese musicians who made it over to the West in the sort of earlier days, because he had a kind of jazz rock angle to his playing. But he brought Japanese sounding percussion, like taiko drums and things like that. And the show that I saw involved, you know, cultural touches that were unusual to the Western ear or eye. You know, it was a theater, music, mime show. And, you know, I was just a kid. So I was only just starting to buy records. And of course, I bought the soundtrack straight away. Other than that, it took until I was on my first business trip to Japan, because my business is distributing records. I went to Japan in 94. On my sort of ways around the record shops there, I started seeing a few reissues of Japanese 60s rock guitar music, which all looked kind of curious. So I snapped those up. One of them was an artist called Takeshi Terauchi, who done kind of 60s electric guitar reworks of traditional Japanese folk, which they called minyo.
We'll be right back.
And I really liked that sound. It really appealed to me, this sort of Japanese scale being played on a guitar, you know, in a kind of beat environment. It really excited me. So this kind of drew me in. And of course, the soundtrack that you hear when you're in Japan, you know, walking past or into bars and shops, you know, I became attuned to this scale and I really started seeking it out in the music. Started collecting, you know, in my trips back to Japan. When I sort of assembled these records, I was looking, you know, which ones are 70s? You know, some things that are actually from the 80s look like they're from the 70s. A lot of Japanese record companies in the past didn't put dates on the sleeves or the labels. I had to dig deeper in my research to make sure that these were actually from the 70s. So that meant that really, in a way, there's not consistent theme throughout. But I think there's a feel with a few wild cards. And the feel is that there's generally a bit of a groove to these tracks. First track is by Minako Yoshida, and it's a track from 1973, her first album. The title is Machi no Boke, which roughly means waiting in vain. It's from her first album, which is kind of very much in a sort of singer-songwriter style along the sort of lines of Carole King. Mature, emotive feel to the record. Has this very wonderful grainy sleeve photograph close-up of her in a kind of sepia picture. It's one of these obscure, difficult to translate things. It literally translates as daughter winter, like the daughter winter. Hosono features, well, very heavily on this one. The arrangements are by Caramel Mama, the band, one of his earlier bands. This wonderful sound of a, it's a bit like West Coast rock. There's a kind of mellow feel to it, but there's also, I always feel, an edge. This kind of area, which has sometimes been lumped into this genre, which is strictly a Japanese genre, called city pop, which I think is an unfair category to put this in, because I think it has much more substance. A lot of city pop can be this, what I described before, this sort of mellow, you know, easygoing, you know, unchallenging kind of music. Whereas, you know, Minako's first album and a lot of Osono's collaborations are not strictly easy listening. Yes, so this would not have been heard anywhere outside of Japan, I very much doubt. So the second track is Takahisa Kosugi, and the track is Mano Dharma from his LP Catch Wave, which was released in 1974. I think Kosugi is much more of a kind of hardcore experimentalist. You know, he was working from the early 60s with the Fluxus movement, and he is a violinist. But on this record, he takes the violin, takes it to another universe, using a lot of effects and, you know, distortion, you know, double tracking and all sorts of you know, reverb, echo chambers. Half the time I can't hear it, it's violin at all. I think really he's more in the kind of universe of, say, you know, John Cage and Harry Parch, or, much more experimental souls. This is an interesting one, Akiko Togawa, and the song actually Get Down, the Japanese title, but it's actually a cover version of an Italian song called L'Importante è Finire, which in English means The Important Thing is to Finish. Aki Togawa was a very interesting character. She was a chanson singer, you know, the French chanson popular style, which has a huge following in Japan. It's one of those foreign styles which they really took to. But in her case, she actually ran a hangout, a club, where people might perform this music. And certainly she must have got up and sung a few songs herself. Like a lot of singers, she was also an actress, also a very staunch feminist and gay rights activist as well. Very significant figure because, in my humble opinion, I think, you know, Japan has historically been completely intolerant of homosexuality and feminism. It's a very patriarchal society even now. Things are changing, but I mean, certainly homosexuality is very much underground. The fact that she was a sort of reasonably a high profile, an actress and a singer, championing these rights is something really special. And this song is, I played it once in a bar in Hackney, and this Italian guy came up to me and said, "Ah, I can't believe it, you're playing, this is Mina." It's Mina being the Italian singer who made this song famous. And it's actually a very sexual song, which you can sort of hear maybe from the tempo and the way she's singing it. But he translated lyrics for me, and it very much tied in with the concept of the little death being the orgasm, illustrating this kind of erotic scene. Quite a piece. A fourth selection is Masabumi Kikuchi, and the track is Sunday Lunch, and it's from his album But Not For Me. Kikuchi was a jazz pianist who played with many leading lights of American jazz, including Lionel Hampton, Sonny Rollins, Woody Herman, Mal Waldron, Joe Henderson, McCoy Tyner, Gil Evans. It's endless. He really got around, and it kind of shows in his playing. He's got a very interesting, you wouldn't say free, because it's not free jazz, but he has a kind of free way of playing and composing. When I heard his music first, it made me immediately think of Miles Davis, electronic period, or just pre-electronic. He actually ended up living in New York for many years and playing in New York clubs. It must have been nice to have gone into some small bar to see him playing. Thank you. I think the important thing, you know, when I hear Japanese music is I kind of equate it a little bit with Jamaica, where, you know, reggae music is really, it comes from rhythm and blues. You know, that its root, obviously, there was mento, which was the kind of Jamaican rhythm very early on. But really, reggae itself is from rhythm and blues. And they twisted it and made it their own. In a way, what these Japanese artists have done, they've taken those American and Western influences, but they've produced something individual.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So track six is Ayumi Ishida and Tin Pan Alley Family. And the song is Watashi Jishin. It's from her album, Our Connection, which was the only album she did with the Tin Pan Alley family. Tin Pan Alley was another band that Hosono was a major figure. Basically, she was really a kaiokyoku singer. She was a Japanese pop singer. You know, she started in the 60s, but it wasn't until the 70s when she collaborated with these guys who brought this kind of city pop or West Coast kind of feel to her music. Is a very groovy record. Yuki Saori, again, was a very popular pop singer. She debuted in the early 60s, mid-60s. This song came out in 1970. Ikigai, actually sort of forgotten, but it's been quite a trendy word in the West recently. Somebody wrote a book about the concept of Ikigai. It basically means a reason for being or a reason for living. But the angle, this book, seemed to be that, well, we all know that Japanese people live much longer lives than we do. What's the secret? Supposedly the answer is a reason for living, which is kind of fair enough. This song really hit me between the eyes because I felt, you know, going back to, I mentioned reggae before, which is really love as well. There's a kind of element of lover's rock to this song, I felt. Lover's rock is a particular strand of reggae that sort of started in the 70s, most popularly high-pitched female singers singing love songs, very, very sweet songs. And actually that style is very popular in Japan because of the high register, I think, and because of the kind of romantic, it's a very easy thing for people to get attached to. I feel this song is almost like a Japanese artist predicting lover's rock. There's a kind of groove to it. I think it's a lovely song. Yeah, Fuji Keiko is much more of a kind of character and music. What drew me to her first of all was that I heard this Japanese female singer with a kind of gutsy, kind of gravelly edge to her voice. I was used to hearing these kind of quite smooth, you know, pretty voices, but Fuji had, you know, much more of a bluesy kind of voice. Her father was actually a Ro Kyoku singer, peculiar kind of bluesy street music. It's an ancient music form. And her mother was a goze, which is a blind shamisen, which is also a very traditional type of musician. So she had this, you know, very deep, gutsy, raw kind of musical background. And of course, as a kid, she accompanied them sometimes on tour. And I guess she developed her style from that, but it evolved into, you know, a popular singing style, which was connected with what they call enka, this the barroom sound I referred to before. Because it was kind of enka, it is always very bluesy, her stuff. It's always very heartbroken, quite sort of final sounding music, which is doubly, I'm sorry to say, doubly ironic because she actually ended her own life a few years ago. Considering how successful she was and probably how wealthy she was, I mean, it remains a mystery why she did it. This next track is by Happy End, Osamu's group, and it's called Natsu Nandesu. It's a live track off their album, which is Live in 1973. Natsu Nandesu means it's summer. I think you get that sort of feel. It's got a very sort of lazy groove to it. They pioneered this sound, which had an American feel to it, you know, in the terms of that kind of West Coast feel. Its character was strictly Japanese, and the lyrics, they somehow worked the rhythms of the music around the rhythms of Japanese language. When you listen to their record, they make it just sound so easy, like anyone could do it, but nobody could do it. It's incredible music. So the next one is Yumi Arai, Anata Dake no Mono, which roughly translates as Just For You. And it's from her second LP called Mislim. Yumi Arai is probably more famous in Japan as Yumi Matsutoya. That's her husband's surname. Matsutoya was in Caramel Mama, the band that you heard earlier backing Minako Yoshida. Again, Yumi Arai is a kind of, I would say, was compared to, you know, Carole King, you know, singer-songwriter. She sessioned on many other people's records before she started embarking on a solo career. You know, she had 21 number one albums, apparently. But this was one of her earlier works, which I think has a lot more substance than maybe some of her later stuff, if I may be so bold. So track 10 is Hideko Fujiwara, a song from 1970 called Omae Nanka, which is, again, difficult to translate properly, but it's expressing something about pissed off with her partner. She's basically railing against him that she's had enough. And it's from her album Watashi no Blues, which is basically my blues. She was more famous, really, for the group that she sang in called Itsutsu no Akai Fusen, Five Red Balloons, which was a very popular folk group. This record, as well as the Itsutsu records, were on a very famous underground record label called the Underground Record Club, or URC, which championed a huge amount of singer-songwriters and folk musicians in the 70s in Japan. But this is more of a bluesy funk number. I think that people have often commented when I've shown them Japanese record sleeves, anything from 50s onwards, people always comment on the wonderful composition or photography on the sleeves. And I think it's true. There is a, like with the music, like with the professionalism one often hears in the with the backing musicians, there's also a kind of an elegance in the presentation, with the visual presentation. And the thing you find with these island nations is a completely bottomless well. You know, you'll never reach the bottom. It's just incredible to think how much music has been produced. Yeah, so I think the mania maybe has cooled off a little bit. I mean, obviously, the scenery has changed. Scenery has changed quite a bit. In the 4 years of me doing my show and the years before playing in clubs, often to not very many people at all, the scenery's changed in that the internet has opened up a lot and a lot more reissues coming out, some of which I've been involved with, but there's a lot of others that are entering the market these days. So in some ways, satiated to a degree, but of course there's always something that comes along that you think, wow, that's incredible.
Thanks to Howard, aka Japan Blues, for speaking to us. In our next edition, we move to the 80s as we speak to Yosuke Kitazawa from Light in the Attic Records for another journey in sound from their related releases.
We try to excavate the story behind each recording. A lot of times that story is just as fascinating as the music itself.
I'm Ben Eshmade. Thanks for listening to this archive edition of the Nothing Concrete podcast, here to inspire more people to discover and love the arts with weekly podcasts of archive finds and theme series. Subscribe to Nothing Concrete on Acast, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. And if you can, leave us a review to help us get the word out.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.